Alright, are we ready?
Yeah!
The real reason for the invention of the internet. TalkZone.com. We're back on TalkZone for more Our Global Hope, world-changing leadership talk with your host, Dr. Henrik Mann.
If you're just joining us, I'm Dr. Henrik Mann, host of Our Global Hope, and Dr. Charlie Self, author, speaker, and professor, and I have been discussing the exciting news that Rio, Brazil, was selected as host to the 2016 Olympic Games. The first in South America. And as we've been discussing some of the social, political, and theological dimensions of that, I want to pull us back towards sports and towards the issues of social justice that a Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro might bring to our awareness. Charlie, there's kind of a dark and a light side to sports. Maybe we start with the dark and then finish up on the light.
Well, you know, the dark side of sports is the dark side of the human condition, and that is competition that goes to a point of cheating, whether it's the drug scandals that we hear about or whether it's corrupt judges or that kind of thing. We have kind of the low-life, low-level part of sports, but also the idolatry and the amounts of money aggrandized by powerful forces in sports can really take away from the beauty of the event and the fun of the competition. And so the dark side includes billions in money. And, you know, one of the things that I have been speaking about is I find it amazing that billionaire team owners can hold cities hostage to build billion-dollar stadiums for their gladiators while we're still trying to make sure our teachers have pencils and paper. But you see, you can't regulate everything and in every way, and so you begin to ask the ethical and moral question of how much we focus on sports. The Olympics used to highlight amateur sport. Recently, the rules have been loosened a little bit, and people are basically winking at each other saying, look, these are simply the best athletes in the world, whether they're paid or not, which is probably a positive development. At the same time, what money can do is another part of the dark side or the bright side, as some people, you know, raise money to buy their ticket to get to the Olympics. So whether it's the billionaires who move the money, whether it's the athletes who do not exercise their responsibility, or whether it's people who put far too much vicarious living into their heroes, those are the darker sides. But of course, I think still the brighter sides exceed those.
You know, as I think about South American pride right now, there's going to be a lot of pressure, I think, for South Americans to be winners in terms of the Olympics. It doesn't go unnoticed that Brazil's national soccer team is ranked first in the world, that they've been victorious in the World Cup a record 5 times in 58, 62, 70, 94, and 2002. They're winners in auto racing, in martial arts, in basketball, even volleyball. There's just a lot of breathtaking expertise in Brazil and in the South America as a greater continent. And I'm wondering, you think that pressure is going to be overwhelming for some of the dark side to come to the forefront?
Well, you know what? It always is, and that is really what the Olympics represent. Both, they represent those hopes, aspirations, the positively competitive spirit of wanting to do well. One other thing about the Olympics that you also have athletes supporting each other as well as competing with each other. But certainly, the pressure is going to be on. I think what's going to be interesting is the Northern Hemisphere, or we might call them the Western nations, don't have a monopoly on excellence when it comes to sports. What used to be the Eastern Bloc nations that had those amazing athletes funded by the state, they don't have a monopoly. As the world continues to become economically prosperous and interconnected, opportunities are going to abound from people of every nation to get the training and the preparation they need to do well. We need to get ready for Olympics that are really global, and I think that's pretty exciting.
Global Olympics with global connections, people from all sorts of countries mixing together. You know, I think of the opportunities that are dynamic and positive. I also think of some of the fears in terms of safety, in terms of disease and pandemics and all sorts of other challenges. It's going to be quite an organizational feat for them to put all the preparations together.
You know, it really is. The world does come together for better, but also the potential for real violence, or the potential, like in 1972, the Munich Games with the terrible terrorist incident, those kinds of things can happen, the bomb scare in Atlanta. So it is a security challenge. It is a law enforcement challenge. It's a cultural challenge. But the challenge is more than met by the opportunity to really get to see a microcosm of the globe in one location. And I think that's a tremendous moment.
What do you think that people in Brazil and in South America are feeling right now in terms of national identity and pride as they think about this? I mean, of course they're going to be excited, but what are some of the deeper implications for them as this news starts to settle in?
Well, you know, I think what you're going to see is this, it's a real sense of saying we're joining the world stage, that Rio represents other Latin American urban centers to say, hey, we're just as advanced, sophisticated, multifaceted, opportunistic, if you will, socially conscious, globally aware. Latin America is here. You know, right now we have the European Union, we have the empires of Russia, India, and China, North America. You know, we have these economic and political rivals all on a stage, sometimes cooperating, sometimes battling. We have multinationals that operate in all of them. And Latin America has been a quieter force, but this is going to bring it to center stage.
Do you think that, and this will sound maybe almost utopian, but do you think that in a certain sense the rivalry that Russia and China and the U.S. have had for so long in terms of trying to have empire aspirations, that at some point we're going to see a situation where maybe Brazil can help reorganize, reshuffle the power dynamics of the world and help us through the challenges?
Well, you know, I really think, I don't know if it's going to be quite that dramatic in a moment of time, but the more nations like Brazil emerge, and you could add India to the mix, much larger, it's a whole continent, so is Brazil in many ways, but the more these nations emerge with unique ways of keeping human freedom. In fact, Henrik, this is really a fulfillment of the UN Charter as it was originally written. That nations have their uniqueness, but there's rights of freedom and speech and conscience and religion and opportunities to eat and be educated. Now, the UN has in some cases successfully fulfilled parts of that with humanitarian concerns and failed in other parts of that. And that'll be a fun show someday. But the fact is, a place like Brazil says, you know what? There are models of hope for us to begin to aspire toward.
Well, as we close our show for today, I want to thank you for stepping up, and you've been listening to our Global Hope World-Changing Leadership Talk. Thank you, Dave Olson, for producing our show. You can reach us at ourglobalhope.com. Until the next week, you're encouraged to spread the word that the most inspiring leaders are those who operate from the strength of truth, love, and nonviolence. This is your host, Dr. Henrik Mann. Now let's go and change our world for the better.